ופרק ח'
תלמוד עשר הספירות.
תלמוד עשר הספירות, volume 1, part 3, page קוף, למד ג' 133, chapter 8. Explains that the four bechinot chub tum are like a person with a neshama clothed in his guf. And the guf is clothed in a levush, clothing, sitting in his heichal.
So we have guf, levush, heichal.
Chokhmah is the collective of the orot in olam atzilut, and it is the neshama of the entire atzilut called the upper Adam. He is clothed in Bina, which is the collective of the Kelim called Guf da Atzilut. The Guf is clothed by Zer'antin, which is a Levush, clothing, and Malchut is the Heichal of all of them, containing four issues. 1. The four Bechinot Chubtum are called Neshama, Guf, Levush, Heichal. Olam Atzilut, where the upper Adam resides, is a neshama clothed in a guf, levush, and the heichal of the king, palace, king's palace. 2. The keter is their shoresh, the root. It is divided into 4. Shoresh, root to neshama is chokhmah in keter. Bina in keter is shoresh, root to the guf. Zer'anpin in keter is root to the levush, and malchut in keter is the shoresh to the heichal. 3. All that was explained in Olam Atzilut is the conduct in Olam Hazbriah as well, being that it is or the tolada, offshoot. This is so because Bria was imprinted from Olam Atzilut. Thus, Keter de Keter de Atzilut imprinted Keter de Keter de Bria. Chokhmah de Keter imprinted Chokhmah de Keter de Bria. And so it is in all the Sefirot. The Orot do not extend directly from Keter de Atzilut to Keter de Bria. For Olam de Bria does not receive, but only through Malchut de Atzilut. Malchut de Atzilut imprinted everything that exists in Olam Atzilut in Olam Bria, and similarly in Olam Yetzirah and Asiya. Item 1. We've already explained how all the Netzalim, how all the emanated, are one Bechina containing all four rudiments, which are the four Otiyot, four letters, Havaya, being the four Olamot Abia, having a fifth upper Bechina between them and Ein Sof. Now we will elaborate on each and every Olam in general, and afterwards we will return to explain all of them as one whole.
If there are any questions, go ahead. You can ask. Read it again.
We've already explained how all the Netzalim, how all the emanated, are one Bechina, containing all four rudiments, which are the four Otiyot, four letters Havaya, being the four Olamot Abia, having a fifth upper Bechina between them and Ein Sof. Now we will elaborate on each and every Olam in general, and afterwards we will return to explain all of them as one whole.
So, it's pretty obvious. Here he wants to elaborate on the five worlds, then collect them together and show that it's one Havaya.
Everything that exists in Olamot Abia is not more than the four Bechinot Chubtum, which are the Otiyot, letters Yud, K, Vav, K, and are Neshama, Guf, Levush, Levushim, Bait. Item 2.
This is how they're called, Neshama, Guf, Levush, Eichal.
Item 2. Everything that was created in all the Olamot is only four Bechinot, which are Havaya. They are the spiritual, called Neshama, the organs of the Guf, the Malbushim, and the Bait.
Kalemata.
let's read item one below, explains spiritual called neshama. This refers to the time when bi'ah are in completeness, when they rise to atzilut, such as on Shabbat. At that time, they clothe each other, like the Adam Elyon, the upper Adam, who is neshama and guf and levush, residing in the king's heichal.
Because if all these discernments, if bi'ah is below the parza, then they don't have it, but only rising above the parasa, together with the atzilut, shorosh levush, guf levush neshama echal, then only they have these five parzufim.
The orin atzilut is the spirituality called neshama, which is chokhma. The neshama is clothed in kelim da atzilut called guf. Item 3. We will speak of olam atzilut, and from that the rest will be understood. The pnimiut, the internality of the entire atzilut, is the spirituality called neshama. It is closed inside the organs of the guf called kelim, which are the 10 sefirot called rosh, arms, and guf. Small item 2 explains the 10 sefirot called rosh and zroot, arms and guf, body 2. They are the names of the 10 sefirot of the partzuf. Rosh is the sefira of keter in it. The zroot, the arms, are chug. The sefira of chesed is the right arm, and the sefira of gvura is the left arm. The guf is the sefira of tiferet. And from tabu downward, there are 4 sefirot, nehi and malchut. There are 10 kelim in the guf, which are 10 sfirot in the gvul and measure that exists in atzilut, which is bina. Item 4. Let us return to the issue of the guf. This bechina is 10 sefirot, 10 midot, qualities, because they contain a gvul, border, and midah, as it is written in Perkei Hechalot, Hechalot of the degree of 236 thousands of 10 thousands parsas.
Lemata? Okay. Opening me.
Inner light, item 3 explains the matter of the goof. Relates to his above words that Chochma is Neshama, Bina is Guf, Zeranpin is Levush, clothing, and Malchut is Heichal, palace. Has already been explained that there is no Gvul, border, from the aspect of the O. Moreover, it is not meticulous with the Gvul in the Kelim, which is why it performs Haka'ah, striking. The Kelim that limit begin only from Bina downward. They are Guf, Levush, Heichal, which are Bechina Bet, Bechina Gimel, and Bechina Daled. Although Bechina Aleph is Chochma, called Neshama, it is not regarded as a Kli, as the Ari writes that 10 Sefirot of the Guf are called Eser Midot, 10 virtues. It is so because the Kelim that place the Egvul, border, and a measurement begin in Bechina Bet. However, in 10 Sefirot de Neshama, meaning Bechina Aleph, called Chochma, there is no measurement whatsoever. It is so because Bechina Aleph is not regarded as Aviut, coarseness, and therefore has no Kli and measurement. Item 5, the words of the Ari. And Guf de Atzilut is clothed in Levushim, and it is Zeranpin which clothes Bina. Item 5. This guf is clothed inside the levushim, clothings of Atzilut. As our sages said, the Creator was clothed with 10 levushim, a levush of pride, as it says, the Lord reigns, He is clothed in majesty. It is written in Pirkei Hechalot that the chaluk, the robe of the Creator, is called Zahariel there. But the neshama inside has no midah, no measurement at all. However, when compared to Ein Sof, we can denominate them midot and sfirot relating to the neshama as well.
Item 4, it's levush, clothing, meaning the name of this robe is levush. Sometimes we say a robe, sometimes we say levush, clothing.
Item 5 explains in the measure of Ein Sof. It means that compared to Keter, called Ein Sof, Chochmah is also regarded as having aviut, coarseness. For Ein Sof does not have any will to receive. Hence the name Bechina Aleph. Item 6 above. The Levushim, clothing, dwell within the Batim, homes, which are the seven Heichalot, the Atzilut, being Malchut. Altogether, it is considered that the upper Adam, which is Neshama, that is clothed in a goof, and the goof in Levushim, are placed in Heichal of the king, in the king's palace. Item 6. These Malbushim are inside the Bechina of the Batim, which are the seven Heichalot de Atzilut, which are the Bechina of the Olam itself, being the heaven and the earth, and the Avir, air between them. All this is the Bechina of the Batim, homes, and they are called Olam Atzilut, where the upper Adam resides, who is Neshama and Guf. And Levush of Malchut is placed in the upper Heichal of the king, which is Olam Atzilut in general.
Everything's clear. Keter Chochma Binazaran Pin Malchut, Shorosh Neshama Guf Levush Heichal. However you want. You can put it however you want. Modcha, Tzamot, Gidim, Basar, and all. There are thousands and thousands of different names for these five prinot of Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, with the tip of the Yud. So we won't get confused. It's completely unrelated to anything in this world where we take the language of the branches and use this language to talk about these concepts, but this is all related to the upper world. Yes.
When he writes that Adam Elyon, which is Neshama, Guf, and Levush, and he resides in the king's palace, when he gives that example, what does it mean? A person is sitting next to a king on a table. He keeps repeating that example. So what does it mean?
מה שאנחנו כאן בעולמנו מרגישים,
what we feel here in our world, what we see, it's all called the imaginary world that's depicted on our screen, that this is how we see all these things, even though they're this heavy, hard, tangible. These are all imaginations within our feelings, within our emotions. This is how we depict it. But from here we take an example. We use the names, we use the relations, because all of this, including all the worlds, including this imaginary one, they're as if disconnected from one another, or better put, they're a copy of one another. And as he puts it in the language of the branches, Tez, first part, inner reflection, language of branches. Therefore, we use names of this world in order by them to call all these discernments. It's like you have a kind of like this thread where you tie it to a cup in this world, suppose, and then you go through all the worlds, and in every world you have the concept, not the shape, not the substance, the matter, but the concept, a concept called a cup, meaning a kli with a certain volume, meaning it's a desire, not like the one that we have. It is inanimate. It is a desire that sustains itself, that wants to receive some kind of fulfillment in order to bestow, thus existing in spirituality. And that's how it is in all the worlds. So when he tells you that somewhere out there in the world of Atzilut, there is a man sitting in his palace and so on, you have to understand that it explains about forces. These discernments are forces. It's not talking about a human being. Even if you think about man reaching a state where he's really sitting in the world of Atzilut, in his levush, clothing, and eichal, palace, so he, meaning his will to receive, which is corrected in Tzimtzum, Masach, and Ol Chozer, where the Ol Chozer is his clothing, and he's on such a degree of the will to receive with the Masach and Ol Chozer, which is the world of Atzilut, and then inside his kli, he receives the upper light called the light of Atzilut. Well, usually it's called Shabbat, because on Shabbat we ascend to Atzilut.
No.
That's it? Yes, Moshe.
The levush he ascribes to the Creator, to the light. Clothing usually should be in the kelim.
Of course, the levush is the kelim. These are screens, kelim. What does it mean to relate it, ascribe it to the Creator? Otherwise, how do you perceive Him, grasp Him? Only by dressing on Him. By clothing him. It says, Hashem Melech Geut Lavash, meaning that it is man who does it upon the king.
Above item 4, it says, 10 kelim are in the guf, which are 10 sefirot in a border and a measurement in Atzilut, which is Bina. Can you explain what it means in a border and measurement there is in Atzilut, which is Bina?
Measure and boundary, it means that the entire will to receive that we have in the world of Itzof without any limitations, where after the Tzimtzum Aleph, it goes into constant limitations. Then, in the weight and the shape and the form of the limitation that exists on it, it becomes a special kli for the revelation of the light of the Creator.
Is there a connection between what he says here? I can make the connection.
What are you reading about?
Above item 4, the first line. The line above item 4, which explains what is written.
10 kelim are in guf, which are esel sefirot, and the gvul and measure that exist in Atzilut.
Which is Bina.
Bina, because the world of Atzilut is entirely Bina. The world of Atzilut is completely bestowed. Bina.
He's talking about the world of Atzilut here?
Yeah. This is his main quality. The quality of Bria is also Bina, but an incomplete Bina, Zat of Bina. Only when he ascends to the world of Atzilut does he receive additional Chochmah there.
Now, I have another question. Then he writes, perhaps they should read the entire item. I want to ask about 236 thousands of tens of thousands of parcels. What is it about?
I don't know, and in the meantime, I don't want to know. I get confused. You see, he doesn't explain. We'll learn this calculation later on. Shapira.
In the morning, in the previous part, we were reading that there is Keter, which is emanator, and Chuptum, which are emanated. Below, he writes that Kelim begins only from Bina. So Chochmah,
we always learn that the Kelim begin from the middle of Bina.
So it turns out that Chochmah is an emanated, but not a Kli.
These are your speculations. Why are you... You heard just one word, and suddenly from that you start building a system in order to get confused in it, and then you won't be able to understand the entire wisdom. We learned many things. We learned that Keter Chochmah and Gar of Bina belong to the emanator, and Sad de Bina, Zarant Bina, and Malchut belong to the emanated creature. So what are you asking about? In Keter, are there 10 Sefirot? There's also Malchut there, and Chochmah too, and Binah too. How is it possible if it belongs to the emanator? This is how we divide the upper bestowal, that the lower winds have place only for the Zat of Binah. Because only there the will to receive is expressed. After Bina wants to become like the Keter, it builds systems by itself, which are Zad de Bina, Zaran Bin and Malchut. And before that, really, Keter is bestowal. Chokhmah is the desire to receive the bestowal. The desire also comes from above. Bina is the desire to become like the Keter, also comes from above. Only Zad de Bina wants to build something that's similar to the Keter on its own. So it builds or gives birth to the will to receive. Zad de Bina is the system that gives birth. And Zeranpin passes this bestowal on, and only Malchut is truly the created being.
We're saying that this world is an imaginary world, but if I understand correctly, then we mustn't relate to this world as an imagination, because otherwise the Creator is showing you that it's not an imagination. So how should we relate to this world?
Sit down. In our work, we relate to this world as to the real world, and not an imagination, not the imaginary world. We have to work with it properly, as it is. But alongside with it, regarding the upper worlds, we have to understand that everything that goes on in it, the way it acts, behaves, it is all unrealistic, because everything that exists here, it's not real. It's just a preparation for us to reach the spiritual world of Asiya, or even higher. And then we'll see that our entire existence beneath, which is in order to receive right now, in the meantime, we were given to exist in this imagination that the will, the in order to receive exists, and really, it doesn't exist. It is entirely the preparation for the upper world, and we exist in it in order to come to the upper world and free choice, for us to be like the Creator in this, for us to want to be free, to want to be in order to bestow. And then, in that, we build the image of the Creator out of ourselves. But if you take a look at the upper world, at the spiritual world, you do not see this reality existing in this corporeal, animalistic, animate form of in order to receive. It doesn't exist. Let's hope that we will discover this in our lifetime and not after. Yeah.
What am I supposed to take from what we're reading now? Because obviously there are four bechinot and
all this, all of these three first parts of tests, we have to go over them as is. They're very general. They want to explain that in general, there's a system, five worlds, Sfirot, Partzufim, the connection between them, some of their appellations, you know, to give you, it's like we went over the Igulim and Yosha. What do you remember since then? In 5 minutes, you can explain everything you have left from back then, but still, this is how you study, this is how you go over it. Of course, this is not our work. And also, he uses definitions here, which are very advanced. He's explaining about the world of Atzilut now. Because we studied previously about the world of Atzilut and talked about it, and people, they start from scratch, from the beginning. Imagine a new person comes in, and it's like him. Oh, a world, someone sits in Atzilut, and in his house and his clothing. What? You know, it's dangerous to hear. But this is how they write. This is how they write. We'll learn. We'll go over it. Later on, it stays. It remains in you in order to sustain the general picture of the five worlds, from the world of Enzov down to this one, how they divide, how especially we have, how our work is especially in the world of Atzilut. It's a must for the generality of the system. It's good that we're going over it this way and that there's this general picture. This way I'm saying, ask if you have general questions. And not about Reish Lamed Vav, Alfei and Revavot Parsot, hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands of Parsot. How can I explain it right now? Okay. Yeah?
A question about the study itself. When we work in a 10 on the connection between us and different states are revealed to us, and I see the gap between my state to what Kabbalists are writing about, where we have to be. And on this delta, I'm drawing the light that reforms. I understand what I should long for. When we read those texts,
you're integrated in this system as much as you can. The Creator created it. You were led to hear this. You're a part of it. You're in it. Only you don't understand and don't know and don't feel. So, you have to express some kind of an inclination to integrate with it. Where the upper, for the upper light that exists in the system to work on you and show you where you are.
Inside the 10, what makes me think about the quality of bestowal and the Creator is pain. I want to have the right attitude to them. I want to be able to perform an action, not for my own benefit.
This is where the work is.
What is this pain?
Here. I want to belong to the system. Like I said, I want to belong to this system. I want to discover myself there. In these worlds, in these discernments, this is where I want to be.
And it becomes like music. Let's say when we're reading Rabash, this flexibility you mentioned earlier in the previous part, is it how it is?
I want to feel myself living in those worlds that we're learning about. I'm inside them. I want to be a part of it. I want to discover where I am and how it is to live in them. Because right now, I'm in a dream. Dream. And it seems to me that I'm doing everything. I bear children, I care for everything, I'm alive, this is all a dream. It's not as if something, it's really a dream. Imagine that you wake up and you discover that you were in a dream. And how many things you went through, including what we're sitting and talking about right now. And I'm all the time telling you, Itai, wake up, wake up. No, I want to sleep some more. Everything's fine. That's how it is? Yeah.
So how do we wake up from this dream?
The friends, they should pinch you for you to wake up. But it's good. Today there's a kind of dream within a dream. Go ahead.
We're on page 134, chapter 8, of course, item 7, above, the words of the Ari. The four bechinot, neshama, guf, levush, heichal, are chubtum. Keter is their fifth. Containing the roots of these, nef, neshama, guf, levush, heichal. Item 7. These four Bechinot are the 10 Sefirot that begin at the above Chochmah, and have four Bechinot. Then, there is also the Bechina of Keter, which is the fifth Bechina, the Shoresh, the root of them all, which contains the root of the above four Bechinot as well. Item 8. Each of the four Bechinot, Neshama, Guf, Levush, Echali, Natsilut, contains 10 Sefirot, Chuptum. The Neshama in Keter is the root of the 10 Sefirot, Chuptum, the Neshama in Natsilut. And Guf, the Keter, is the Shoresh, the root to the 10 Sefirot, Chuptum, the Gufim. The Levushim, the Keter, are the Shoresh to the 10 Sefirot, Chuptum, the Levushim. And Eichal in Keter is the Shoresh, is the root to the 10 Sefirot, Chuptum, the Eichalot. Item 8. It turns out that the Bechina of the Or and Neshama in Keter is the Shoresh, the root of the 10 Sefirot of Neshamot, the Atzilut, which begin from Chochmah. The Bechina of the Guf in Keter is the Shoresh of the 10 Sefirot of the Gufim in the 10 Sefirot, the Atzilut, which begin in Chochmah. The Bechina of the Levushim in Keter is the Shoresh of the 10 Sefirot of Levushim in the 10 Sefirot, the Atzilut, which begin in Chochmah. Bechinat Eichal in the Keter is the Shoresh, the root of the 10 Sefirot of Atzilut that begin in Chochmah. Item 6 below explains the Bechina of Guf in Keter. It has been written above that in Keter 2 there are the four Bechinot called Neshama, Guf, Levush, Eichal, which are Chubtum, but as mere roots. Item 9 above. All that exists in Olam Atzilut is imprinted in Olam Bria, item 9. Then Olam Bria was created by the very same way. That is, because through the Masach, which is the Karka, the ground of Echal de Atzilut, it illuminated downward, and there imprinted everything that was in Olam Atzilut. It is called Olam Bria, because it is Or of Tolada, offshoot, and it is not the Or Elyon itself. However, because it is the Chotam of Atzilut, the imprint of Atzilut, it should have all the Bechinot that are in Atzilut. Item 7 below explains through the Masach. Item 7. The Siyum of the degrees in any place is only because of the Masach in their Kli of Malchut. Thus, the Hishpashtut, the expansion of the degrees from Ein Sof to the Neetzal, to the emanated, stops and remains standing from expanding when it touches the Masach. It is like standing on the Karka, ground above it, where the ground does not let it expand inside within it. By the same manner, the Masach stops the Or from expanding inside and within it. Hence the name of the Masach, Karka, ground. It has already been explained that 10 Sefirot, the Olam Bria, were created by the Hizdakhut, purification of the Masach, the Bechina Gimel, in Olam Atzilut into Bechina Bet. It is written there that it illuminated downward through the Masach, which is the Karka, ground of Echal of Atzilut, meaning because of its Hizdakhut, purification, as it explains there.
As always.
Little item 8 explains, and an imprint was imprinted there. Item 8. It means that just as the Nechtam stamped does not lack any of the forms that exist in the Chotem, so all the forms in Olam Atzilut emerge in Olam Bria. Hence the names Chotam, print, and Nechtam, an imprint. There is yet another most original reason. The entire Or Elyon that comes to Bria comes because of that Or Chozer that ascends by the power of the Zivug, the Haka'a, on Masach, the Bechina Bet, in the Karka, ground of Atzilut from her and above in Atzilut itself. That very same Or Chozer glittered once more and passed through the Masach, broadening the Kli, the Malchut, into 10 Sefirot from her and within her. It expanded in her from above downward. By that, all the Bechinot that the Or Chozer closed in Atzilut from the Karka upward returned, extended, and came from the Karka, from the ground downward as well. Thus, this Or Chozer is completely similar to a Chotam. Everything that is imprinted of it is copied to its Nechtam, imprinted. Similarly, regarding that Or Chozer, all the Bechinot and the measure that is clothed from below upward returned and brought them to Briah from above downward and copied them there in Briah without any change and lessening. For that reason, this act is called Chotam and Nechtam, imprint and imprint.
It's like from the Rosh to the Guf. From Parsa and above, it's the Rosh that imprints everything, and then there's the copy of it in the Guf, in Bria. Questions? Yeah?
What is the role of my thoughts?
No. We're studying tests now. It's not written about your thoughts here. It's written about the Bechinot of Atzilut.
Small item 9 explains this is the light of Toledah offshoot. Item 9. This is the rule. In any place where this Or Chozer reflected light rises from below upward, the Atzmut, the essence of Or Elyon, is clothed in that Or Chozer. This indicates the Hitpashtut, the expansion of Or and Sof to make Kelim, which the Ari speaks of above. However, in a place where Or Chozer is considered to be expanding from above downward, as it is in Ten Sefirot de Briah, this Or Elyon, upper light, that is clothed here in this Or Chozer, reflected light, is no longer the Atzmut, the essence of the upper light. Instead, it is regarded as Or of Tolada, extending from the Or Elyon, but it is not the Or of the Or Elyon itself. The reason is that it extends by the power of the Masach that raises Or Chozer because of the detainment in it. For that reason, the force of the Tachton, the lower one, is already involved in it, and it too is limited in the measure of the Kelim and the level of the Masach, for the Masach precedes the Hitpashtut of these 10 Sefirot. It turns out that the Masach is the reason that causes the appearance of these 10 Sefirot. As a result, the Or is limited by it and is no longer the Atzmut of Or Elyon, but is regarded as Or the Tolada. However, Or Chozer that ascends from the Masach upward cannot raise any of its Aviyut. Indeed, this applies from Olam Briah downward, but in Atzilut, there is no Masach whatsoever. Consequently, any Or there, until Siyum Raglin, is regarded of the Atzmut of the Or.
Also, we have to understand that this is something subtle. When we talk about it, that Atzilut comes from the word etzlo, at the creators, and there are no limitations there, and we know how he was created, how he functions, meaning there's a lot to add here, yeah?
I want to understand the general picture. He speaks here about the world Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, Asiyah, like Partsufim, which emerge one after the other.
Right, what's the difference?
But on the other hand, we know that the Olamot, Briah, Yetzirah, Asiyah are built after the shattering by Atzilut, from the shattered Kelim.
Right, that's the main thing. Meaning that before the shattering, there's nothing to talk about. Usually we think that the just part of the spiritual structure is the world of Ein Sof, the world of Adam Kadmon, the world of Nikudim. And after that, it's like a kind of appendix, small addition. To the contrary, because before Malchut broke, mixed with the Sefirot, and that different systems of Klipa and Kedusha were built out of it. Before that, there's nothing to talk about. There's no reality that can be considered as man. It's all preparation. It's all.
But here it describes it in a very simple patsuf, like a patsuf where the Masach completed its avyut, purified, and the next world emerged. So how can we relate to it with as a more complicated picture?
No, you have 2,000 more pages.
But you say to take from here a general picture. This is
the general picture is that all of the worlds were created according to the same pattern, in the same mold. Wait a second. We finished this? Yeah. No. Completed. And then we'll go to questions.
We're in item 10, page 135, above in Hebrew. Keter d'Atzilut imprinted the four roots of Neshama, Guf, Levush, Echal in Keter d'Bria. From Neshama in Keter d'Atzilut, the Neshama in Keter d'Bria was imprinted. From the Guf in Keter d'Atzilut, the Guf, the Keter d'Bria was imprinted. From Levush, Levush, and from Echal, Echal. Item 10. It is because Bechinat Keter, which is the fifth Bechina that consists of the above Bechinot, imprinted Keter in the Rosh of Bria as it is. From Or of Keter, the Atzilut, the Or, the Keter, the Bria was imprinted. And from the Guf of Keter, the Atzilut, the Guf of Keter, the Bria was imprinted. The Levush, the Keter, the Bria was imprinted from the Levush of Keter, the Atzilut. And Eichal, Keter, the Bria was imprinted from Eichal, Keter, the Atzilut.
So, we see that neither Ari nor Baal HaSulam are being lazy. They go over them one by one, writing meticulously, even though that there are many things that they didn't touch at all. What can you do? Yeah.
Item 11 above. Neshama, Guf, Levush, Echal, the Keter, the Atzilut, that extend to Neshama, Guf, Levush, Echal, the Keter, the Bria, extend through Malchut, the Atzilut, that was clothed in Keter, the Bria. The rest of the Sfirot, the Atzilut, that were imprinted in Bria, were also extended through Malchut, the Atzilut, by the Zivug, the Haka'ah, on the Masach in her. Item 11, the words of the Ari. However, these Orot did not extend from the actual Keter de Atzilut to Keter de Bria, but through Malchut in Malchut de Atzilut, which is Atik de Bria, clothing Keter de Bria. She extended these four Bechinot in Keter de Atzilut and created them in Keter de Bria. 10 Sefirot de Atzilut did similarly and extended their Or through the above Malchut in the above Keter. They imprinted Echotam, they imprint the Atzilut in Bria, Neshama from Neshama, Guf from Guf, Levush from Levush, and Eichal from Eichal. Small item 10 explains extended those four Bechinot in Keter, inner light. Because of that, Malchut de Elyon is called Nitzotz, the spark of the Creator, since it extends and emanates its inferior degree. It is written above that all the degrees and the Partsufim and the Olamot from Rosh de Kav to the end of Asiya emerge and are emanated from one another by way of cause and effect. It means that Malchut de Malchut of every Elyon, every upper one, descends below her degree and extends to all four Bechinot of the Tachton, as is explained in detail in part 2, Istaklut Pnimit.
Finish
it. Item 12. Malchut de Bria came down and clothed Keter de Yetzirah. She extended the Chotam, the imprint of the five Partsufim Kachaptum de Bria, which are Neshama, Guf, Levush, Echal, to Olam Yetzirah. Neshamot from Neshamot, Guf from Guf, Levush from Levush, Echal from Echal. As it is in Yetzirah and Asiya as well. Item 12, the words of the Ari. Similarly, in Yetzirah, Malchut de Bria was Atik, connected with Arich Anpin de Yetzirah. There it was named Keter de Yetzirah. And the five Partsufim de Bria extended and imprinted their Chotam, their imprint in Yetzirah, by the same way as in Bria. Neshamot from Neshamot, Gufim from Gufim, Levushim from Levushim, and Heichalot from Heichalot. Similarly, the five Partsufim de Yetzirah imprinted their Bechinot in Asiyah. Neshamot from Neshamot, Gufim from Gufim, Levushim from Levushim, and Heichalot from Heichalot, and so on, by the same way, all the Olamot in general and in particular.
What? Tell me, please. When you looked at your children, you're saying, look, he has fingers just like I do. He has a nose like my wife does. He has ears like the grandfather, like my father, and so on. How is that possible that it passes on from one to the other? Please tell me. Chochem, wise guy.
I don't know how it works. I was laughing at something else.
What?
Bala Sulam says here, it's insane. In the end of the inner light, item 10, he writes in brackets that all the things that he writes in Istaklut Pnimit, they were necessary to write here. Otherwise, if I didn't spare the expenses of imprint. So everything he wrote here and imprinted was needed, so he didn't save on the expense of printing the book.
Tell you furthermore, I don't know what conditions were there at the printing shop, but many times he was told that you have to add text. He used to sit in the printer's shop and used to write it, and they would add it to the text. Yeah, that's how it is. What? What, he had to sit in his cabinet at home, think about it? No, this was something that was alive in him.
What's the difference between the connection there is between Keter Datsilu to Keter de Bria, between two?
All the Ketorim, all the Chochmot, all the Binot, all the Zaranpins, and all the they're all connected to one Avaya. There's a connection between them. Meaning all the Ketorim, all the Chochmot, plural for Chochmah. Doesn't matter how many, they're all interconnected between them. Meaning all the rest of the Bchinot are a transition for them to be connected. And this applies to each and every Bchina, that it's connected to this, to its same type through all the rest of the Bchinot.
So can we say that Keter de Atzilut, Keter de Bria, Keter de Yetzira, they're also Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira? According to the connections between them?
Sure. That's how it is. That's the relation between them, as the upper and the lower.
So what does it mean, these two types of connections between Keter to Keter and Malchut to the Keter that comes next?
No, Malchut and Keter, it's the work in the Ten Sefirot. But Keter and Keter, it's a role.
What does it mean, a role?
Keter, on every degree, is Keter. Regardless what degree, its role is to be the Keter. And therefore, it has connection, or it's connected to all the rest of the Keterim, up to the Keter of Ein Sof, to the first tip of the Yud. And this is how it is with all the Pchinot. Whereas if you're saying Keter with its Malchut, with the rest of its Sefirot, that's already a Partsuf. It's a measure and a perception. It's something completely different, different discernments.
Is there a difference in the connections between them that connects as light and that connects as a...
Sure there is. Suppose the Ketorim or the Chochmot or the Binot of the same kind are connected regardless of how they, each of them functions toward his own cell. No difference. It's a different kind of connection. It is a system that is entirely based, built on the first Avaya. And all the rest of the divisions from the first Avaya are only in order to sustain it, but as if they came out of it, as if they never left it, as if they never came out of it. They function only in order to clarify it. Wait a second. I have... What that one? I have Terence.
But you didn't say where the kid has ears from there and the nose from there. From the inclusion, where from?
This is a problem. It is the integration of the Sfirot. It's called the Zivugim of the Sfirot. We'll study about it. What part is it? Tenth part. No, not eighth. Ninth part. The Zivugim of the Sfirot is the ninth part. We'll get there. Terence.
Thank you, Rav.
Okay, Rav. The Kabbalists, they can choose where they are with their thoughts.
The
Kabbalists, they can choose where they are going with their thoughts.
The Kabbalists can choose where they are going with their thoughts.
I heard. They can be in Pesar, they can be in the future, in the past, they can be where they are, they go where they want.
Right, true.
Why we here are not able to, with our thoughts also, to go where we want? Let's say we want to be, I don't know, somewhere in the text.
למה אנחנו לא יכולים עם המחשבות שלנו ללכת לאן שאנחנו רוצים? נניח אנחנו רוצים לצלול לתוך מה שהטקסט מדבר.
Because you can't activate your thoughts. You can't activate them, you can't operate them, you can't build the degrees, you have no masach. What you can do is you can watch a movie on TV and then you're imagining as if you're there with those heroes. That's it. But you, yourself, how can you build a reality if you have no masach? In order to build a reality, you need the will to receive, tzimtzum, masach, and then you build it. Please, go ahead. Build whatever you want.
If I watch a movie, I can be in the movie. Or if I read a book, I can be in the story of the book.
But imaginary, in an imaginary way. You can. You can be inside the story itself, really in it. But in order to build this reality and to live in it, you need a masach. With the help of the masach, you control the entire reality.
What's the difference of my thoughts?
Your thoughts, they're worthless. Thoughts aren't reality. With your thoughts, you can't build anything. What stands behind your thoughts? An imagination.
They use their thoughts, why?
Now
he can be in the martikun now with his thoughts.
They use the masach. The masach.
Can you explain?
What is there to explain? You're asking me as if... What's up with you today? I don't know. You're like... We have a will to receive. You want to make something out of it? Something different than the way you're in it right now? You can do it if you have a masach. Then you control the will to receive and make anything you want out of it. You can make out of it whatever world you want. It all depends on the masach. Substance exists abundantly, the upper light exists abundantly. To tie the upper light with the substance, that's called the masach. If you create the connection through the masach, you make whatever you want out of the substance. You can build a palace for yourself in the world of Atzilut, live there, go ahead.
What's the difference of my thoughts before I have a masach and my thoughts after I have a masach?
מה ההבדל בין המחשבות שלי לפני שיש לי מסך למחשבות אחרי שאני רוכש מסך?
Before it, it's considered the imaginary force, Hollywood, and after it, it's considered the wisdom of Kabbalah and the true world of Atzilut.
eternal one.
But I will still be in my desire to receive.
Not of your own. Will to receive, but not of your own, but in order to bestow.
Ken.
Yeah.
No.
Where is that poor guy?
Hello, Rav. Rav, you are a Kabbalist, you're a scientist.
That's it?
There's more. There's more. Seriously, Rav, do you have a tip for us? How can we concentrate during the study something that will last for more than 10 seconds? I can... hold on to a sentence.
Listen up. It's not the wise who studies. Not at all. The problem is not that you don't understand. Even if you're illiterate, doesn't matter. If you're integrated in society and you build yourself in a way of being yourself as little as possible, and by that, you give the Creator the ability to work on you, and He will give you the correct form.
What does it mean to be an absence?
As if you don't exist.
So what do I study? What happens? What goes on?
It's all non-important. It's all just in order to draw light. A force for something to work on me. So if you don't know anything, it'll work on you no less than if you know it all. Because it all depends on the desire. It's not about whether you want to know or don't, but it's about the desire to annul yourself toward the Creator, and this through society.
It's not even about knowing or not knowing, to understand or not understand.
You'll understand it differently. You'll simply discover it.
But to want, I cannot focus on the text. I immediately run away into nonsense. Thoughts about my car, party.
Excellent. There's a party? All right. Listen up. The fact that you can't concentrate on the text, this is something that's done from above in order for you to ask. It's actually good. Later on, you'll understand that you're lucky. That on all sides, in all aspects, you're given as if a sign that you're not succeeding, for you to demand, for you to ask. Don't think that you're not developed, that you don't understand, and that everyone's smart and rough. He's like, oh, no, not at all. You can cancel everyone besides the Creator. You're in His hands. He's showing you how much you don't understand and won't understand, how much you're not advancing and won't advance, and so on. Why? He wants to break you. He wants for you to be completely dependent and only on Him.
And how long does it happen, this demand? How long does it take to having such a demand when I see that I don't understand anything and I ask of Him?
You don't need it.
How long does it take to ask of Him to reach?
This I don't know. Depends on how you ask. But if you ask and He'll answer, suddenly everything clears up. Suddenly you know everything. You're asked, how is that? The world of Atzilut, Malchut, Bina, this, that, Abba and Ima, Rechanpin. You answer, you're saying it's simple. Simple how? That's how it is? What do you mean, that's how it is? That's how it is. That's how it is in me, for me. Put it that way. That's it. This is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is how it's supposed to be. And the fact that you're envious of them, that's good. Envy. Don't envy Shovitz. He's a poor guy, trust me. The wisdom's killing him. You have to want for the Creator to reveal to you, to open things up for you. That's it.
So just to wait for such a request?
Not to wait, to demand all the time until you get it.
To demand from the book?
Yep. That's called to open the book. If this is how you'll cope with things all the time, against this feeling, you'll keep on going with that, you'll succeed. If it opens up, you need no explanations. You see, you feel, that's it.
Tov chevre. Ken mister.
Until it opens up, you know that you know it's going to open up for you? Until the book opens up for you, you know that this is something that is going to happen?
We have to believe what the sages say. It has to open up.
And what do you expect to open up for you?
את העולם הזה שכח שהעליון ייתן מסך וכוח לברר את הרע שיפתח עליי עכשיו שיפתח עליי שיפתח את העולם הזה שכח שהעליון ייתן מסך וכוח לברר את הרע
שיפתח עליי עכשיו.
However much you study, whatever you do, the only thing is for it to open up.
Why this wisdom is built in such a way
that it doesn't come through studying. Studying is just a means to draw the reforming light. The question could be as follows. How much do I have to know in order to draw the reforming light? Is one part of test enough, or two, or three, or everything, or to read and not know nothing, like our friend says, that he's reading, I don't get anything. What? Letters? I don't know what these words are. What's better in order to draw the reforming light? Because everything's up to it and only. So it says it's not the wise that learns, that the main thing is the chisaron. So, do I have to study a lot for the chisaron or not? Usually, yes, in order to have a stronger chisaron, so that you'll see how much I studied, how much I learned, and I didn't attain anything. As it says, like there was this one chassid man, like the song goes, that he studies, studies, but he has nothing. Yeah.
I'm asking about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Which kli does it work on? The wisdom of Kabbalah, which kli does it work on?
On the will to receive.
On the will to receive. But the will to receive needs fulfillment, needs something. And here the process creates something entirely opposite. It's not like studying any other wisdom where the desire keeps developing, receiving, and knowing where it's headed. Here they close your desire, they conceal your desire even more from you.
You're held, you're aided to be correctly directed. It's like with a baby, that you don't allow it to go here or there, but this way. From above, there is no concealment that is not purposeful. You're only being directed.
So, where exactly are you directed at?
Annulment, in order to attain that there is none else besides him. Today I heard, who said that he's asking to have a bit, to have some problems? Chanoch. Soon he'll get them, don't worry. So what I want to say is that it is a result of a person wanting guidance already, wants to be taken care of. He wants for something to happen. Suppose I feel that I don't care about anything. I don't need the Creator, the creatures, and the wisdom of Kabbalah. I don't need anything. I really feel as nothing. Nothing changes. I don't need anything. This situation, it's like hanging in the air. So a person feels that if he will receive some kind of fear, some kind of an anxiety, that he'll be really shaken up, then at least he'll get the need for the Creator. This isn't the right way, but such thoughts and such desires awaken in a person, but they awaken in order for him to think that this isn't the way, that the way has to go through society. This way, to run to the Creator, you run to him. He did this? Yes. On purpose for you to adhere to him? Yes. So you need him when you feel bad. So where is the in order to bestow? Where is the right way? It's an incorrect approach. And this is something that does exist, and many times we experience these things, but you need the complete opposite. You have to awaken yourself and to run to the Creator out of the recognition of His importance and because of the envy that society awakens in you. Yeah.
Blows and sufferings don't develop you, do they? Blows and suffering that a person gets, does it develop him?
It does advance, but it's unpreferable, not in the eyes of man and not in the eyes of the Creator.
But you get blows and sufferings. It doesn't turn your desire to want something else. He simply doesn't want what he had before because he suffered.
Not only. Many of the discernments, we also go through them through blows and suffering. Suffering purifies the body. It's not just a blow and you run away and that's it. But even if it is so, it's unpreferable in the eyes of the Creator, and therefore the advancement is nonetheless, it's negative. You get something from it. You get many discernments from it. You learn, you study, but it's not good. The way, it's not good.
So development is done by the importance we can develop ourselves. Obviously, the light performs the changes, but it has to change something that is given to him.
To the measure to which you deplete your will to receive from your control, you allow the Creator to enter it. And then he's in control.
So what empties yourself from your will to receive?
Society. Do these exercises on society. Allow them to rule.
Let them control your desire?
Yeah. It's called that you annul yourself toward them. You make a zero out of yourself.
To simply implement whatever they want?
Toward connection, of course.
But you're still using your desire.
You can't. When do you use something which isn't a desire?
So what's the difference? You just don't use it for your own benefit?
Yeah. The well-being of society is as if more important than your own. Because a person has nothing of his own, so to speak. It's just in order for him to measure to what extent did he correct himself towards society. And to the benefit of society, it's really to his own benefit because it's his ten, it's his soul.
Shamir.
Rav, my question is regarding the study. When we study together, we are desiring to reveal the spiritual forces between us.
כשאנחנו לומדים יחד, אנחנו משתוקקים לחשוף את הכוחות הרוחניים שעובדים בינינו.
So does that mean that the spiritual force between us is actually our essence?
האם זה אומר שהכוחות הרוחניים בינינו הם, זה המהות שלנו?
אני לא יכול להגיד מה אתם עושים שם.
I can't say what you're doing there.
My question is that the ten which I'm sitting with, so I have to dissolve into the ten, to dissolve, to annul into the ten, does that mean is to enter the spiritual world with the ten?
להתמוסס בעשירייה שנהייתה יושב, האם זה הכניסה לאותם כוחות רוחניים?
Is it the same?
האם זה אותו דבר?
כן. כן, אני לא יודע בדיוק מה הוא מתכוון ל...
I don't exactly understand what does he mean by dissolving in them, integrating with them, but yes. To the extent to which you annul yourself toward the others, you only have to see how do you do it, why, what for, in what way, what prinot, what discernments, is it for a short period of time, or in general this something that I'm concerned with, preparing a place for the Creator to reveal himself in order to give him contentment. Okay, so we're advancing toward it.